Jim Fester, your host on the Dynamic Duo with Kevin Barrett, where you can catch the Boy Wonder here on Mondays and Fridays, and I'm here the rest of the week. I have two guests today. The first, a special guest from New York, who is running a campaign to get a petition signed to bring about a new investigation of 9/11. It's a real pleasure to welcome a remarkable activist for 9/11 truth, Les Jamison. Les, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Jim. Thank you for having me on today.
Please do tell everyone about the petition and how they might be able to help.
Yes, we are engaged in a ballot initiative, which is similar to a public referendum. You may have heard of them in states like California, where they've been doing them for years. We learned that we could do something similar here in New York City based on the New York City Charter, which allows for ballot initiatives, and we are engaged in, you know, allowing the, or enabling the voters of New York City through the power of the petition to galvanize around this issue, which means creating a platform that would allow for a new independent 9/11 commission that would be impartial and thorough and comprehensive to conduct an investigation that has not occurred to this date after 7 years since 9/11, which would be fact-driven, authentic, following wherever the facts may lead. Now, we are required to get 30,000 minimum, and we're at 27,000. And that said, we're continuing to move forward. I know we're continuing to move forward, Jim, because we want to reach the 30,000, even if we don't get it on this November election, because we have to continue to build to get 40,000, 50,000, 60,000, whatever it takes to create a mandate, a powerful mandate here in New York City that will show the political structure here that the citizens of New York are rising up, are saying, no, we do not accept the official deception. We want an authentic investigation. And as our representatives, we require that you follow our lead here and pass this initiative. So that's what we're up to here. And the website for everybody to get all the background and details here is nyc911initiative.org. I'll repeat it, nyc911initiative.org. For all of you around the country, I urge you to send everybody you know who's in New York City to that website. They can download our petition. They can sign our guest book and volunteer to help. They can donate as well. And also, if you know people in and around the greater New York area, in Connecticut, New Jersey, Long Island, they can also help to collect signatures with us. As long as they're with a New York City voter, they can participate in this gathering of petitions. And it's been a phenomenal success so far, given what we're up to, and given that we're just a small ad hoc group here. We're not some major political party doing this. We are just activists who have a winning concept that we call it the campaign whose time has come. And we owe this work for a new independent 9/11 investigation to the victims, to the victims' families, the 9/11 first responders, ourselves, and to future generations. And so we're calling for help all around the country, because this is a national issue, and it's going to take a national effort. We need everybody's energy behind this. Please go to the website. You sign the guest book to stay informed of what's happening.
Repeat the website again, Les.
Sure. It's nyc911initiative.org. That's nyc911initiative.org. And, you know, these political campaigns going on right now for the presidential race, they're accumulating hundreds of millions of dollars in funds that they're raising. And, folks, they'll never pursue an authentic 9/11 investigation. Let's face it, that will never happen. However, this campaign, the NYC 911 ballot initiative, will, with the right work, the right help, the right support. So we're calling on people to help If 20,000 people around the country just donate $25, the minimum, the cost of an average meal for two, that'll be $500,000. We can take out ads on TV and the local newspapers and, of course, pay petitioners and make this a reality this year.
Les, tell me, are you directing it to a specific party that might be able to convene a commission, or is it a more general call upon the government?
Yes, it's a general call, and we have an independent slate of commissioners. This is completely nonpartisan, Jim. We want this to be completely independent of government. However, what's interesting is the way the legal language is in this. If we pass this, it would have subpoena power, so we would have the force of law. And if we subpoena people, or we get testimony and people lie, that's perjury, and it'll be legally enforceable.
Who are persons included in your list of prospective commissioners?
William Pepper, international attorney who retried the Martin Luther King case, wrote an incredible book called The Act of State. We have former astronaut Edgar Mitchell, Apollo 14 astronaut, and we have actor and activist Ed Asner, 9/11 family member and widow, Lori Van Auken, former Roman Catholic Bishop Thomas Gumbleton, two former senators, one Democrat, one Republican, Mike Gravel and Lincoln Chafee. We have also Ralph Schoenman, host of Taking Aim Radio and historian. And we are also looking to more people such as, to balance that, Bruce Fine, an attorney, a constitutional attorney. And believe it or not, Bishop Desmond Tutu was contacted a while back, and he expressed interest. He has health problems, but we'll see. If we, going forward, if we get this on the ballot and get this elected, we will have an incredible position. And, go ahead, Jim.
Just as a general observation, Les, whoever would serve as the executive director or the chief, investigator would be absolutely crucial here. So I hope you're able to find a simply excellent person.
Yes, absolutely. Jim, we have a wealth of expert witnesses throughout the country, people like David Ray Griffin, Richard Gage, yourself, Stephen Jones, Colonel Bob Bowman, and the list goes on and on, 400 architects and engineers, right? And, of course, all the people, many of the people from Patriots Question 9/11, pilots for 9/11 Truth, Wayne Mattson. By the way, I got to tell you, Wayne Mattson, a former NSA analyst turned investigative reporter, has told us that he knows people right now within intelligence agencies who would testify if we were to get this investigation.
Les, he's a good man, and you're doing an outstanding job. I like what you're doing. Let's tell everyone again how they can support your petition.
Please go to nyc911initiative.org. Anybody you know in New York City, send them to our website, have them download the petition and volunteer. If you know people around New York City, they can also participate. It's all explained on the website. And please help us with your donations. This takes money to make it happen in a relatively small amount in comparison to what gets spent on political campaigns. So,
Les, I can't thank you enough for coming on. You're doing a great job. I wish you well with the petition, and I urge everyone to support it.
Thank you, Jim. Take care.
Great pleasure. This is Jim Fetzer, your host on the Dynamic Duo. We'll be right back with my special guest. Stand by.
This is Cascadia Public Radio.
Help, I need somebody. Help, not just anybody. Help, you know I need someone. Help. When I was young, so much younger than today, I never needed anybody's help in any way. But now these days are gone, and I'm not so self-assured. Now I find I've changed my mind and opened up the doors. Help me if you can, I'm feeling down, and I do appreciate you being round. Help me get my feet back on the ground.
This is Jim Fetzer, your host on the Dynamic Duo with Kevin Barrett, where you can catch Kevin here on Mondays and Fridays, and I'm here the rest of the week. My special guest today is one of the leading investigators of the videos on 9/11, in particular in New York City. He's made many contributions. I've had him as a guest before. I'm looking forward to visiting his site and talking about his analysis of why video fakery appears to have taken place in New York on 9/11. Killtown, it's a great pleasure to welcome you back to the show.
Hey, Jim, how are you?
Real good, real good. It's just a pleasure to have you on. I would like for us to go and visit your website, but I'd be happy to begin wherever you would like. I've been reading over your paper about why they didn't use planes to hit the World Trade Center, and I think you make a brilliant point here, namely that with video fakery, they could guarantee penetration of the planes through the buildings and thereby make the claim, with a certain degree of visual plausibility at least, that the planes had actually damaged some of the core columns, in the absence of which the idea that the buildings would collapse because of impact with the planes is utterly remote and beyond belief.
Yeah, well, I think everybody believes the official story and believes the official reason why the towers collapsed, because to them they saw in the videos how planes penetrated in, blew up in the middle. That gives them this perception, this idea that massive damage was caused, weakening the middle, and then the fire that they saw, an explosion, was enough to melt it. So to them, it's believable. And, you know, if the planes crashed up against the sides of the building, I don't think many people would think that would be enough to take the towers down. So, you know, that penetration is the sole key thing that the perps needed to sell their official story. If not, you know, obviously
Killtown, you're absolutely
the targets,
right. You know, it's just amazing because until you put your finger on it, I don't know anyone really who had recognized that was the crux of the matter. They had to have the penetration to be able to claim that the core columns were damaged, and thereby gain some semblance of an explanation as to why the buildings were destroyed.
Exactly. You know, and I don't get sole credit in this. My friend Quest at our forum, 911movement.org, we talked a lot about it, discussed a lot about it, and, you know, we both came up with the logic behind it. So he deserves, you know, at least half the credit, if not more.
Well,
and also earlier works of Gerard Holmgren,
yeah,
was key too. So, you know, it's a collaboration, and, you know, that's why we started our forum. You know, we all need to work together. You know, we don't always have to agree, and sometimes, you know, your arguments are strengthened because you debate with people you disagree with, but you will never know something's going to make logical sense or not unless you compare it with other people and just freely, openly talk about it.
Absolutely right. Absolutely right. Well, listen, can we visit your website? Would you have some things we could take a look at?
Yeah, sure. Go to my blog at killtown.blogspot.com.
Okay.
And the first post, I have a bunch of links that we can follow through.
Killtown.blogspot.com. I'm there now.
Yes. Yeah, so I guess the first thing we talk about is an idea I got from listening to one of your previous shows when you had Joe Keith on.
Yeah.
And you guys were watching some of the videos, and you had commented how the plane seems to travel through the air the same amount of frames as it does when it starts to penetrate through the building.
That's right.
And
in other words, it's traveling in uniform motion through air and skyscraper alike.
Yes. So that gave me the incentive to create this video called Air versus Skyscraper, and it's a short video about 5 minutes. And basically, I just count the number of frames. I use the video. Which one did I use?
Evan Fairbanks.
Evan Fairbanks, that's right. I use his version because it's one of the most stable videos, and it's kind of taken perpendicular to the trajectory of the plane coming into the building. So, and it also has a good starting points because there is a skyscraper on the left-hand side that you can create a starting point. And all I did was I slow motioned the frames one by one, and I counted that the plane that we're seeing, that supposedly flight 175, takes about 11 frames to travel the length of itself. And then I start to count where the plane is seen penetrating the building going through, and I count 11 frames again. So, you know, what that's telling me is it's not even slowing down as it's crashing through, you know, a steel concrete object.
And what everyone needs to appreciate is that this is in violation of Newton's laws of motion, which are three in number and which maintain that a body will remain in uniform motion until it's acted upon by a force, the first law. The second, that it will, any force applied, it will react in the direction of the force applied. And third, that there's an equal and opposite reaction. In this case, the force that would be applied is resistance by the building, that the interaction would be equal as though the building were hitting the plane at 500 miles an hour rather than the plane hitting the building. And, of course, that the plane couldn't possibly remain in uniform motion in the face of this this force. So that we really have a stunning demonstration based on some of the firmest scientific principles that science has ever produced in the form of Newton's laws of motion. So I think this is extremely important, Kiltown, and I'm really glad you did it. Since we have not enough time in this segment remaining to run it, what we'll do is run it at the start of our next segment. But I'm extremely glad you did this. Previously, of course, Joe Keith had looked at the Michael Herzicani video and discovered the similar results, namely that if you count the number of frames, that the amount of time it takes or the number of frames it takes to pass through its own length in air is equal to the number of frames it takes to pass through its entire length into the building, which of course then is physically impossible. So on the grounds that things that are, you know, events that are physically impossible cannot occur because they would require the violation of laws, in this case laws of physics and of engineering, we must have fake videos. That's the only way they can be produced. We have in effect a David Copperfield phenomenon.
Exactly.
So I'm really pleased that you're doing this, KT, and we'll take a look as soon as we get back. This is Jim Fetzer, your host on the Dynamic Duo with my special guest, Kiltown.
Listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Let me tell you how it will be. There's one for you, 19 for me. Cause I'm the tax man.
This is Jim Fetzer, your host on the Dynamic Duo with Kevin Barrett, where you can catch the Boy Wonder here on Mondays and Fridays. I'm here the rest of the week. My special guest today is one of the best when it comes to studies of video fakery. His name is Kiltown, and he has a website we're talking about at kiltown.blogspot.com. He has a video there, a short study I'm going to play momentarily entitled Air versus Skyscraper. KT, is there anything else you'd like to add in setting it up before we play this?
No, we can just go ahead and play it. All it's going to show is Evan Fairbanks' video and start numbering the amount of frames.
Is there a sound on this? I don't remember.
So. I'm sorry?
Have you got a soundtrack on this?
Yeah, so you might want to put the volume down.
Well, I mean, I'm going to play it with the soundtrack. Yeah. Okay,
okay,
stand
sure.
by. I'm about to start.
It's good music.
Oh, the music? Yeah. Oh, is that all there is? Is just music?
There is music, but and I have typed some stuff out to say, so you could, if you want
to. Well, what I'm going to suggest then, Killtown, is why don't you read what you have there? I'll turn down the music, so I'll just play it visually, but then you can say what it is that you have there in the text.
Okay, yeah.
Sure. Okay? Stand by, I'm about to start it to play. The Skill Town, stand by, Air versus Skyscraper.
So a plane will travel faster through air than a skyscraper. I think everybody obviously would agree with that. Let's see if it holds true with one of the WC crash videos. We will use the Evan Fairbanks video for this test, since it was both relatively stationary and perpendicular to the plane seen flying into the World Trade Center. First, we will count how many frames it takes for the plane to travel the length of itself flying through the air. We'll use the edge of the skyscraper on the left as a starting point. Then next, we count the number of frames. The plane keeps going. I start counting the frames, and it seems to travel the length of itself in about 11 frames. Then I'll move the fast-forward the plane to where it just about to starts to penetrate the building, and then we'll count the frames, how long it takes to enter, fully penetrate the World Trade Center building. So we start advancing the frames, and coincidentally enough, it seems to take 11 frames again to travel the length of itself. So according to the video, the plane travels the same speed through the World Trade Center as it did through air. To me, there's only two logical conclusions. The plane traveled too fast for the camera's shutter speed, which makes it seem like it travels equally through the World Trade Center and with air, or so Evan Fairbanks was right about his own film. Now, I don't know if you have the volume on, but he says, quotes the image of that plane, and he quotes how it seems to disappear through the World Trade Center as if a floor had been hollowed out. And he says, we see these images in movies, and he quotes, we all know they're artificial and Hollywood makes it, and how it's hard to put together that it's real this time. So, basically, he is saying that he doesn't believe what he sees. He says it looks like, you know, and another video he claims, he makes the infamous quote that it looks like a bad special effect.
A bad special effect. I love it. So that's supposed to, you know, make us realize, gee, you know, since it looks like a bad special effect, and we start to think it must be phony. No, here we're being assured that that's exactly what it looked like, a bad special effect. When they're just, you know, they're just lying through their teeth right to our face. It's really stunning. This is a real nice little piece you did here, KT. I'm real happy with it, and it complements what Joe Keith has been doing, you know, with him, with his argument about Newton's law. So I'm very, which is found on nomoregames.net. Go to nomoregames.net, and you'll find Joe Keith's article about this the violation of Newton's laws here under the heading Joe's Law, if anyone has the chance or hasn't already done it. That's excellent, KT.
Thank you.
I think that's actually the most powerful.
I give you and Joe credit for that, because you guys gave me the idea to make it. So
yeah, well, it's wonderful, though, but you pursued it, and you did it, and that's great. Now, I notice your next is your item here. We can go there or not as you choose. Why they didn't use planes to hit the World Trade Center. And I would like for you to go over your argument, because I think it's simply brilliant.
Well, I wrote this to give people, you know, the logical reason why not to use real planes and why they use TV fakery. You know, everybody says, you know, why not just crash real planes? It would be so much easier. And, we make the argument that, well, no, it wouldn't be easier because, you know, I don't think anybody has ever crashed a large aircraft such as a 767 into a building. So if you were the perps, and you needed the plane to not only hit the building, but to penetrate through, to crash inside and blow up inside, to give this believable story of how the towers can both collapse from a plane crashing into it. You know, you're not going to chance it. So, you know, if you're going to use a rogue plane, you'd think that you're going to use, you know, try it out in a test beforehand to see if it actually works. So what are they going to do? Are they going to wreck the facade, wreck a section of equal to the World Trade Center and crash, you know, fly a plane via remote control and crash it in there and see what happens? So let's say they do it and then the plane doesn't penetrate. You know, are they going to keep building these, you know, test erections of the World Trade Center to test it out? I mean, think how expensive and time-consuming that would be, you know. So, but if you do it on a computer, you could test it out as many times as you want, because it's just cost the price of the computer and the software to do it.
Yeah, absolutely right. Absolutely right. So they could refine it, make sure it looked like the way they want it to look. But these people aren't rocket scientists. They don't understand classical mechanics. They're going to make mistakes. They had the plane flying too fast. It entered the building in inappropriate, actually physically impossible fashion. It remained in uniform motion going through the building. Then the Nade brothers video, we see where there's a secondary explosion that creates the cutout, which you don't see when the mm-hmm. plane is entering the building. That was a terrific find. And,
yes.
Of course, with Evan Fairbanks, you've just replicated the argument about uniform motion from another piece of film. So these, to me, are really powerful arguments, and anyone who wants to see my summary where I identify these five as among the most powerful should go to new proof of video fakery on 9/11. Just Google it. New proof of video fakery on 9/11. Please continue, KT. Tell me this. Where'd you like to go next?
Well, to stay on that article,
yeah, go ahead.
Talking about you know what would the perps do if they were using real planes? You know, would they do this a real life kind of test scenario? And then you have a lot of other truthers who theorize that these planes were not stock planes, that they were drones, and how some think there was a pod underneath, shot a missile out.
Let me say, I like your choice of photographs here. I think these are excellent images in your paper. Stand by. We'll be right back with my special guest, Killtown. This is Jim Fetzer, your host on the Dynamic Duo. Your host on the Dynamic Duo with Kevin Barrett. Well, you can catch Kevin here on Mondays and Fridays, and I'm here the rest of the week. My special guest today is one of the best when it comes to studies of video fakery in New York City on 9/11. His name is Killtown, and he has a website at killtown.blogspot.com where we're looking at his article. You'll find there why they didn't use planes to hit the World Trade Center. KT, I know that there are many others who share your conclusion that no planes were used on 9/11. They'd include Morgan Reynolds and Ace Baker and Joe Keith and John Lear and others beyond them. And I'm just very impressed that you have such a powerful argument for why they couldn't use planes. It was just too risky. and give us a summary of the most important arguments why they shouldn't have used them.
Well, I think the most important arguments is that, you know, they only had one chance to hit each building. So let's say they're going to use real planes. You know, they had one chance to hit the North Tower, one chance to hit the South Tower. If the North Tower was the most crucial, because, you know, the reason the World Trade Center 7 collapse that we are given is because the North Tower collapsed on it. So can you imagine if they used a real plane and it missed the North Tower and crashed in some other building? Well, not only could they not pull the North Tower, they couldn't pull the World Trade Center 7. So it was crucial that the North Tower was hit. And then having to come hit the South Tower too, you know, again, what if the plane missed? What if it did not hit correctly? And what if it just mostly smashed on the facade of it, blew up, thereby not looking like it went all the way in, so people didn't see this big fireball going through it? You know, no one believed that would have been enough to take it down. So then you got to think, well, okay, so if the perp's going to use real planes, how are they going to practice it? Are they going to, you know, use it in a real test environment, build some structure similar to the World Trade Center and actually fly a plane into it, test it out, you know?
Yeah.
The remote control guidance that most truthers think was used, is that accurate enough, you know? And remember, we're told these planes flew, what, the second plane flew almost 600 miles an hour, you know? First of all, can a 767 handle itself at that low density?
Yeah.
Low altitude and that air density at that
low altitude,
speed.
High density, air density, yes.
Yeah. And can it be controlled accurately through remote control? And
yeah.
Not only that, but like if you're going to fly a plane into a building via remote control and you have one chance to do it, would you be safe and fly it kind of straight in, just a straight shot? Or would you do what we saw in one of these videos where it takes this radical dive bomb maneuver at the last second turning and before it hits the tower? To me, that was an awfully risky move. If they had this thing flying remote control, to me, they would have it like a pre-programmed flight. You know, why did they use such a risky, radical maneuver right at the last second to, you know, trajectory to hit the tower? Why not just fly it straight in? So that tells me right there that this plane's not real, because, you know, why would they take all these risks to do that when they could just do a straight shot at the plane right in? So, right, that there makes me question, you know, if the plane is real or not. And then also you have a lot of other truthers theorizing that, you know, these planes were drone planes and they're specially modified. You know, we heard about, Phil Jahan thinks there was a pod underneath it and shot out a missile a fraction of a second before it hits the facade to, you know, help it through the building. Although this missile is off to the side and would only hit a certain section that would help maybe a certain section of the plane, but not all of the plane. And then we also hear theories like, you know, thermite was put on the facade of the building to weaken it to help the plane go through. And then my favorite plane hugger, the 10% truther, Anthony Lawson, thinks DU was laced throughout the plane and bombs may have been fitted at the plane to help it go through.
The thing about DU is one of the most absurd suggestions I've ever heard. Its density is so great, its mass is so awful, it would throw the aerodynamics of the plane completely off.
And not only that, if you lined it against the wings, you'd have to fortify the section where the wing attaches to the fuselage, because that's going to put so much pressure on that
joint. Yeah, you'd have to reconstruct the whole plane. I mean, this is completely implausible. Completely implausible. Can you imagine a DU nose cone on one of these planes?
Well, what I find funny is that, you know, they mock and ridicule us for our no planes theory, yet their theories are just equally as crazy, if not more crazy sounding.
Well, no. Look, you got a reasonable explanation for why no planes were used, and we have a huge amount of corroborating evidence circumstantially. Elias Davidson, for example, has shown that the government has no evidence that the hijackers were aboard the planes. Then George Nelson has pointed out that there are these, and John Lear has confirmed that there are just thousands and thousands of uniquely identifiable parts for each of these four aircraft, and none of them, not one of them, has shown up at any site. We have clear evidence of fakery of planted evidence that's supposed to be debris from the airplane crashes, including an engine that actually was on the street and came from a 737, not a 767, and Jack White has even found evidence of its having been unloaded from a van by agents dressed as FBI.
And it landed right side up.
Huh?
And the engine landed right side up after falling 80 stories.
Yeah, it didn't do any damage to the sidewalk,
KP. You
know, that sidewalk is perfectly
fine.
It's not as though it would be smashed, and it's under a canopy. I mean, this is a neat trick.
And also,
I mean, they made so many sloppy mistakes, you know. It bears comparison with the JFK in various respects, where other major mistakes were made.
And coincidentally, the landing gear is supposedly coming from Flight 11. That also landed under a construction canopy on the opposite side. And, of course, its rubber tire was mainly intact. So this rubber tire survived the plane exploding through the building, going through the central core, surviving all the metal and aluminum turning into sharp shrapnel, lands 90 stories on the ground and just has a little slit through it. I mean, it's like, God, that must be the most indestructible rubber tire I've ever seen.
Pretty remarkable, all right. Well, I really like the points you make that what if any of the planes missed the towers? What if the planes hit but mostly blew up on the outside? What if the perps used two drones but they missed the targets or didn't completely penetrate all the way through and pieces landed outside and exposed it as a drone? How could the perps be absolutely certain that 767s wouldn't miss their target and the relatively delicate fuel tanks would be able to fully penetrate the steel facades and concrete encased force labs before exploding? I think you've got a great lineup of arguments here.
Well, thank you, and also thank, you know, basically the rest of the no-plane community that all kind of pitched in and helped. You know, I think our logic is solid. I think it's more logical that they use no planes and use TV fakery. You know, no one's really debunked this article. You know, even the rabid plane huggers, I haven't seen anybody that's even attempted to really produce a good counter-argument, you know. They just say, oh, well, what about the witnesses and stuff, you know. But it's funny that they always bring up the witnesses when half of them think no plane hit the Pentagon, and there's supposedly 100 witnesses there. So if they can fool them at the Pentagon, why can't they fool them at the World Trade Center?
Well, all these witness things are so bizarre, you know, and there's some people who have gone absolutely bananas over these issues, you know. I mean, there's one guy who just posts over and over and over and over. It's really quite bizarre, and you know whereof I speak. I mean,
yes.
some people have just gone off their nut about this, and it's really very sad, semi-tragic. Stand by. We'll be right back with my special guest, Kiltown. This is Jim Fetzer, your host on the Dynamic Duo.